You see, about the Christ saying, it is better to enter the world with one eye rather than two, which will cast you into hell. You see, there are two eyes, everyone has got it, which are open on the face. We always been working ever since birth up to date, all through life, working at the level of the two eyes. We are receiving impressions from outside, about 80% from the outside, all impressions that we receive through the eyes. Though you are just working at the level of the two eyes, they are receiving good impressions or bad impressions. For good impressions, they will react as good things. For bad, they will result in the same way. So all through, we live in the world that very outward impressions which are embedded in our heart, they overflow. In dreams we see the same thing. When out of deep sleep state we also unknowingly reverberate something about which we do not know even at the time, though it is a sort of superficial life we are living. All men, in all, everywhere. But the Master says there is one eye also, the third eye, or the single eye, or the Shivnetra, what is called. The Mohammedan says, it is Nukta Saveda. Unless you open that third eye, which can be opened only while in man body and nowhere else, you are nowhere. And that eye opens man. That the eye is of the soul, not of the intellect mindset, not of the outward faculties. We are ensouled bodies, conscious entities, you see, working through mind and outward faculties. That inner eye is open when our soul, the outward expression of which is what? Attention is called. That is called attention. Attention, if that is now at the level of eyes, working through mind and outward faculties, we are identified with the body and outside world so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. And that, until that very attention is drawn from outside and just extricated, I would say, above the indriyas or the outgoing faculties, where they end at the level of the eyes. Where at the time of death you are there. Saint, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body and the outgoing faculties as it has at the time of death. So that eye opens when that attention is withdrawn from outside and then dragged up the level of the outgoing faculties, comes to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the two eyes. That's the place where the man at the time of death, that's the last point where it comes up and then leaves the body. So, Kabir says, just direct your attention to the seat above the outgoing faculties, where the outgoing faculties end here. Eyes, ears, everything below, at the back of the eye. When it comes out there, that eye opens. That is third eye, or it is called the single eye, or the Shivnetra, or the Divchikshu. That is within all. So it is called, it is better to enter into the world with one eye, rather than two, which will cause into hell. This has been explained to you very clearly. You can do yourself well and good. If not, that seek the help of somebody who is competent to do it. Outward sadhana of japas and mantras and outgoing performance is at the level of the outgoing faculty, that anybody can teach, preach with little effort. But this fact, I would say, of withdrawing the attention from outside, staying above the eye level of the outgoing faculties, bring at will an open what? Neither I to see what? God into expression power, which is light and self-principle. I gave you one example, one illustration, I would say. Egg is being, and you see, sits over it and gives heat of her own, you see, to the egg, and within the egg, the chicken is born. But it is all hemmed in by the outer covering. And the hen says, look, your child, there's very big sun outside, there are fields and there are grains. And the child says, mother, it might be so, but I'm in all darkness. What does the hen do? That just strikes over the head. And the chicken inside, and the egg bursts. She knows it's all right. You see? So when you're, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You know what it does it mean? That the demonstration of the proof that there's the third eye, when it opens, you see the light of God. I'll give you another illustration just now. There's a top of the house. I mean, 100 stairs. Man rises up, goes up the stairs. So he has gone up 30, 40 steps, 50 steps, 60 steps. He doesn't see any light. When he comes near the roof, he sees flashes of light. When he transcends, that rises, comes above the roof, he sees all light. This is only the first step to show when the third eye is opened, or the single eye, you see. This we can do only in man's body that we have got with the grace of God. Now, when the Master comes, in the meantime, you see this type of water helps you. Single small canals help you. But when rains comes in torrents, it floods the whole world. Just like when the competent, I will say the true Master comes. Why I'm using the word true? There are so many masters flooding the world, I would say. They are simply give you something at the level of the outgoing faculties. Their third eye is not open. They cannot open the third eye. The greatness of a competent master lies in the fact that he has opened his eye, he can make others see, rise above. You see? Our master used to say, just say, I'll support it, you see. He used to say, well, what is the giving of five names, of five mantras, or five, so many outer things, that even a little girl spinning the wheel can tell you, well, repeat this name, that name. That anybody can do it. Our outer methods of performing your rituals or worship and this anybody can do with little training. But this rising above the body consciousness, open the single eyes, only competent man can do. He will give you a sitting, and after that you'll see some light. The more go accurately according to his instructions, you see more light. But even the blind man has got the third eye. On my first tour in 1955, in Los Angeles, you see, there was a meditation hour in the morning. There was one blind doctor who was there. When he was given city, he saw light. You saw here, he gives light to the blind men. Well, masters have been always given this, they give the eye to the blind man. In true sense of the world, we are all blind in the eyes of the masters. They see that the third eye is not open there. Kabir says, I see everyone, all are blind. Who is not blind? Who sees the light of God within? The third eye is open. What do you see? The light? You follow me now, exactly. What I mean to say, when Master comes, there's flood, you see, rain pours down in torrents. The whole world is flooded with water, with this water of life, with this bed of life. And Master comes, he says, well, there's now flood of what? Of the water of life, given out by radiation and direct by the masters, real masters. Well, people just take away as much as in splendor, take away anything, any amount you like. This is the time when they will, you leave the body, you will simply repent. This yet you can do only in man body, and only in the time with the feet of some competent master whose inner eyes open and opens the eyes of all of us. I have seen, even the blind men have got the third eye. Those who have not seen light outside, they see light with it when that eye is open. When that light is open, when you rise above body force. They say to be born anew. Except you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And when you learn to die, so that you may begin to live, at the time of death, our soul will be drawn from outside and from the outer faculty. Come to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes. This you do in process. This process is done. While living, you open and see this light beyond. See, all glory and light is with you. So when the Master comes, it's the flood of spirituality, what you mean to say. The world is flooded with that. It's the high time now. Take away as much as you can hold it out. So this is the true wealth you can gather while in man's body. All other wealth are left here along with the body. The people, the master come, they cry, you see. They say, oh people, here's the time, make the best use of it. There's a flood of water of life, you see, everywhere in the time of the master's feet. Take as much as you can. It is given all free, only a little devotion, little receptivity to do it by father. Maybe living near or far, that makes no difference whatsoever. You follow me now? Why we are fortunate to have man body? Because in man body only we can open that eye. When your eyes open, you enjoy the beyond, you see, while in life. When you are here, graduate, you remain the same graduate after leaving the body. If you are now unlearned, how can you become a graduate after leaving the body, you see? This is what our master used to say always. Who has become a learned man while in life, he remains learned even after leaving the body. And those who irritate him, how can they become educated after that? You follow me, what is meant by it? You see, why so much, I mean, praise is given to the masters, not the so-called masters. The world is flooded with them. They simply, their own eyes are not open, and cannot open the eyes of others. Go on with it, that won't do. How long will you go? You remain all along at the level of the eyes, or at the level of the outgoing faculty. So there should be, if you can rise above yourself, when it's good, what more is required? The blind man needs two eyes to see. If not, you can help with from somebody whose eyes open and give you something to start with, some capital to see the light of. So that is why you see the beauty of it. It is better to enter the world with one eye rather than two, which will cast you to hell. You see? Master comes, they say in their own language. But they say the same thing. The world all over is at the level of feelings or emotions or they draw inferences at the level of intellect, they have not seen. So feelings and emotion, drawing inferences, they are all subject to error. Seeing is above all. Those who have seen, they say this. That is why they say, listen to the words of the master. You see, he says what he sees and is competent to make others to see. You see, this is what. These books cannot explain all these very few words. Very simple, quite to the point. Common sense level. Our inner eyes closed. That is there. We can be opened while in man's body, that's all. Why can't we open ourselves? Because our soul combined with mind has become jiva. And by outward expression to the outward faculties, it has identified with the body and the world outside so much so that it has fallen out of ourselves. If he continues for years and years, all methods, outward methods used for meditation, etc., at the level of the outgoing faculties or at the level of the eyes, outer eyes, they cannot go up. If they can go up, well and good, blind these two bodies. If not, where the harm? Imagine, just seek the help of somebody who is competent to this. I tell you my fate. I was out of touch from very childhood. Action, reaction of the past, you see, man is in the make. I used to have a sort of intoxication. We continue day and night for months. Sometimes, say at the level of 3, 4, 5 months, a drawback came up for a week. That was just like that. I could not find it. I visited many masters. I told them this fate. Is there anything so that intoxication may continue regularly, no break whatsoever? So one I met, he says, you will have to give your head here. I just made obeisance and came back. Well, this head is to be laid at the feet of some competent of your own will and accord, not anyone demands your head. So time did come when I met my master in my visions before, 7 years before. He opened my eyes. These things are very clear now. You got the key of all teachings of the masters. You understand what they say. When Christ said to his disciples, go ye, speak on the housetops. When a candle is lit, don't put under a bushel. Let it be placed at some place where it can draw the attention of seekers outside. You have seen things what the old prophet did not see. These are the very words. You hear things what the old prophet did not hear. So we are fortunate, we have got the man body. We have got something to start with. The more receptive you will become, if you keep convinced of the master, you dwell more and more from day to day. Of course, by weeding out all imperfections in our life through self-introspection. This is what the masters, when they come, you see, there's time, high time. Take away as much money as you can. This is the two words which will remain with you even after leaving the body. All other things will leave you. Suppose, God forbid, you have to leave this daily, all into us in 3, 4 hours. What will you do? What will you take with you? Where you stand? What do you have earned? What wealth can go along with you? Only this thing, this water of life, if you drink that way. No other thing. So try to remain as long as you can at the level of the single eye. We always say we have got no time. That's a pity, you see. the most important subject, the most ignored. They try to bring home these things to these people who come to them. You see? Our Master used to spend his old days at the age of 90, 92. He did not take rest for a day. Day and night he was studying like anything. Well, when he left, the work goes on, of course, but they repent. Why did you not sit at their feet? Even now, when these things can be had with the grace of God, if the people do not make the best use of them, well, it is their unfortunate. So as I told you, rains, when it falls in torrents, the world is flooded with water. So it is high time to take away as much this water of life as you can while you are in man's body. When you leave this body, these things, you will have only that one at your own. So remain where you are in any country, in any religion, socialism. This is the basic teaching. To open the single eye or the third eye. If you have done this, you have seen, that's the highest degree. That's the degree of a religion, school of religion, I would say, that you must be able to see the light of God. To see the light of God is a true Khalsa Sikh. To see the light of God and brings the bell inside is a true Hindu. And who sees, rises above outgoing faculty, sees the light of God. He is a true Mohammedan. And who sees the light of God, he is a true Christian. The degree is the same. So Master, don't worry about the outer forms, you see, rituals, this and that. It is all right, you're taking one step, that's all right. Take the other step, open the third eye. Try to live not at the level of the two eyes, but the single eye that is within you. Open it yourself if you can, if not. If you're really, truly after that, God is within you. He'll make some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where your eye can be opened. You can test, you can bear witness to it if there really is light in there. Maybe small, little or more. Some capital is given. That depends on the background of all, you see, more or less. And you can dwell more and more. So every saint has his past and every sinner a future. Those who become saints, they will not become saints in one day. Rome was not built in a day. You see? So one MA, you see, did not become one day. So saint does not become in one day. You see, that takes time. Everybody is in the main. And this man body is here. Well, the golden opportunity we have got for that one. If not, we are conscious entities, we must come in contact with the all consciousness. We won't come back if our conscious entity is just tied to the outer material things, that consciousness will be lesser. It will go to the lower set of life. So this is what the Master gives, you see. Read scriptures, try to understand. The true import will only come when to sit by anyone who sees. Those who interpret at the level of the eyes, they can not give the right import of the things. That's the first thing. Even if they give the right import by quoting all what I'm telling you, if they are not competent to open the inner eye, to give you something to start with, well, you are still, intellectual satisfaction might be there, but unless you get something, you cannot be satisfied, convinced. You cannot. So, isliye bhaiyo, aap raho apni samajho mein. Aap samjhe, anvi push kya deta hoon. Jo ved shastra grant pochiye, itni highly uski tarif karte, किसी खास पर्पज के लिए. Why all scriptures of the world speak very highly about Master? Not according to the Master about which we are now ashamed to You have to take the name of the Master, Guru Dhamma, become very much deputy. But for the true Masters, those who have this competency, they see and make others see. तो वहीं आपको टाइम मिला है, इससे फायदा उठाओ, नहीं तो कब तक आ रहे हजूर, अंतिम समय तक यही चलाते रहे आपको। किसों ने फायदा उठा, और मैंने जैसे आगे कहा, टाइम इन टाइम वेस्ट फॉर नो मैन, कब तक आपको ये चीज मिलेगी, देख लो, जितना जल्दी फायदा उठाओगे अच्छा। हर एक दिन आदमी को नजदीक ला रहा है ना, इनके नजदीक, वी आर मोर नियर old men are more nearer to the end than the young people. And who knows, man may be caught up in young life too. They say, bhai, find out how possible. I was just talking about, if you would like to find out, to learn something, education, etc., you will find it only in the schools or colleges. If you would like to have medicine, go to a hospital. Similarly, you want anything, or if you want some warm clothing, then go to some cloth seller. If you would like to find out God, then go where? In the company of a true saint, of a master. What is master? Or a saint, word made flesh, who dwells amongst us. So there, when that God is there everywhere, master one word made flesh. Satsang is called the company of Sat. Sat is called unchangeable, permanent. We never change that, you see. Or ever existent. So, our soul, when it is divested of mind and matter and outgoing faculties, knows herself by self-analysis. That controlling power is already within us, controlling us in the body. Yeah? Our, that God, very God, is also within each of us. But our souls are identified with the mind and outgoing faculties. So much so that we have forgotten ourselves and forgotten the over-self, God, which is keeping us in the body. So we are such a soul is there, who has known itself by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness. He is cognizant, he sees God as I see you and you see me. Such a person is called master, or a saint, truly saint. Wherever he sits, the radiation goes on. Radiation goes on through the every pore of the body. But the place of manifestation, especially within the, through the eyes. Eyes are the windows of the soul. Soul is just intoxicated with the love of God, with God. If you look into his eyes, that radiation will be there. You see? So, how to derive the full benefit of a company of a saint? Is to, you must prepare yourself for that. And that preparation lies in what? When you come to a place where a master is sitting, you see, forget all the world over. Forget even the environment. Just forget who is sitting by you. Just be fully attentive into the eyes of the master, which is the place where the soul place, you see.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Rudy Cascone. Are you there, Rudy?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Well, today's reading of Master's talk, Master's messages, will be from three books of Master's. The first is our Christmas message from 1953. Dear ones, I convey you my sincere and heartfelt love on this day and wish you speedy progress on your way back to your eternal and blissful home. We have passed here now so many Christmas Eves. There is need to take stock today where we stand, how far we have traveled. Let us do so calmly but seriously. The journey may be long, but has to be completed. Life is running out. Let not vain pursuits deflect us from our noble path. The grace of the Master is overwhelming and extending far and wide. Through his grace, the long and tedious journey back to our eternal home is cut short and rendered full of melodious charm. His gracious love is overflowing, and he is waiting for you at the back door of your eyes to receive you. Ours is to invert and sit at the door. Let our steadfast devotion, wholehearted faith in him stand in our good stead. My best wishes are always hovering around you to quicken you on your way back to God. Kirpal Singh, December 14, 1953. And from the same book, in the general subjects on page 83, there's a question. Can an ascended master help his initiates who are still on the physical plane? And Master answers, yes. A competent master is a master to his initiates for all time, and does not rest till he takes the souls to the highest pinnacle of blissful glory in Satchkhand. He is not the physical being only, but the word personified, and on a higher plane acts as a Gurudev and Satguru, which terms would become meaningless if his activities were to be confined to the physical plane. If it were so, how could he take charge of the souls of the initiates on death after his passing away? A master, in essence, never dies for the initiates. It is his troth to take them to the true home of his father, and inwardly his light and sound forms are permanently implanted, though he may have left the earth plane. And now we read from Master's book, God-Man. Without a Guru, All is Darkness, Chapter 8. Without a Guru, we are in utter darkness. The reality remains a mere miasma and a mirage. It is an unwritten law, an unspoken language quite unintelligible, except when a master soul, by his personal attention, makes it significant. The glamour of this world is so great and overbearing that passing phantoms appear stable and substantial. The untrue puts on the mantle of truth, and we cannot possibly tear aside the magic veil and escape from the false charm in which we are enveloped. It is the master's grace that can pull a spirit out of the physical sheath right above the plane of senses, enabling her to move unfettered to higher spiritual visions and attain her native Godhead. Without a master, it is sheer darkness, and one seeks into bottomless depths. An embodied spirit cannot have bliss unless it obtains experience of itself through the grace of a living master. He initiates her into esoteric knowledge, which has to be practiced in the laboratory of the human mind. Without a master, there is blinding darkness, and one cannot simply know. Without a master, spirit does not become spirit, and there can be no salvation for her. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you must have a master. O mind, ye must turn to some master soul. Accept as master an adept in the sound principle, and he shall wash thee clean of all impurities. The master, both by his attention and his instruction imparts the knowledge of truth. He who has never seen a master soul nor accepted one simply wastes his life in this world. A jiva is always in stark darkness. If he closes his eyes, there is darkness within. Again, he is enveloped in total ignorance. He who can dispel this darkness of jivas is called a guru. The term guru consists of two words, gu, meaning darkness, and ru, meaning light. Hence, guru means one who can lead us from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, and from death to immortality. The illustrious poet Kalidas speaks of the guru. He converts darkness into light and makes the invisible God visible. As a jiva is clothed in ignorance, all his actions too are born of ignorance and thus keep him in bondage. The saints declare that without a master soul to guide us, all charitable deeds and meritorious acts like study of scriptures, keeping of fasts and vigils, performance of pilgrimages, observance of social customs and rituals, and scrupulous adherence to strict religious injunctions as of old, do not help in the liberation of a soul. Kabir Sahib, therefore, in very strong term, warns us against such acts. The telling of beads, the acts of charity without a master soul to guide, go in vain. None of these bears any fruit. Bulasa tells us, O Bula, without a master, all thy devotions would be barren. Unless the inner eye is opened and contact is established with the power within, nothing can be of any avail. We have of necessity to seek a master who is competent to wean us from all outer pursuits, pull the spirit out of the plane of the senses, and lead her step by step from one plane to another until she is led back to her prenatal home, Sach Khan, or Mukhik Ahak. He dispels all doubts born of darkness and gives us heaven's light as a guide, unfailing and unfaltering. With the guru, the darkness is dispelled. Guru is there wherever one may turn. With no vision in our eyes, the light of hundreds of moons and thousands of suns can do us no good. Such a radiant effulgence would surely fail to end the darkness of the eyes. In exactly the same way, when there is no vision in the inner eye, we cannot see the wonderful brilliance of the soul, and we remain steeped in pitch darkness. Hundreds of moons and thousands of suns together may rise. Even with such radiance, there's not a speck of light. And now we continue with chapter 26, The Blessings of God and the Master. The path of spirituality is not a difficult highway that one may tread easily. It is an arduous and uphill task, tortuous and difficult. In the Katha Upanishad, we find, awake, arise, and get illumination by sitting at the feet of the masters. The wise say this is as sharp as a razor and as difficult to walk on. Farid, a Muslim divine of great repute, says, O Farid, get up and tread the world over in search of some godly man, for then alone can you be truly blessed. In the Holy Quran, this path is termed as Pul-i-Surat, and is described as sharp as a razor's edge and narrow as a hair. Bhai Gurudas also speak of Guru Sikhi, the master's path, in the same words, narrower than a hair and sharper than a razor's edge. Because straight and narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that which leadeth to life, and few there be that findeth. Matthew 7:14. In the Vedas too, there are texts prescribing countless rules and regulations for the performance of yogas, yogic asanas and sadhans, so difficult that the thought of them makes one's hair stand on end. With such hardships ahead, how can a puny child of clay, powerless as he is, constantly ridden by mind and matter, entangled in the message of blind infatuation, and beset with desires, anger, greed, attachment, and egoism, escape unscathed by himself and become a successful pilgrim on the path? In such a weird setting, all baffling and bewildering, with no way out, God takes mercy on his creatures. He himself comes down in vile man's attire to suffer woe so that his children may be blessed. But again, the same trouble confronts us. To understand the teachings of the Master and strictly follow them from day to day, to confide in him and to completely surrender oneself, body and soul, to his will, is not an easy thing to do. Unless God and the Satguru both take pity on a jiva, he cannot possibly see through to reality and escape from bondage. He himself, the master of the universe, he may draw in a jiva and effect a union. We, with our limited understanding, cannot even listen comprehendingly to the master's words. But in the fullness of time, when it so pleases God, he brings about a meeting between a jiva and a sant satguru, who establishes his contact with Nam, the power of God or God in action, the primal sound current, wherewith a jiva is gradually led on until he reaches the source and fountainhead of Shabd or the sound current. Those who serve not truth wither away like a broken reed. O Nanak, whom the master blesses gets linked with Nam. With a special merit alone one meets a satguru, and he brings about a union between Surat and Shabd. Meeting with the Master is a pure gift of God, and so is the union of Harinam, parentheses, God. The Master is in the likeness of God, though in physical raiments. He, too, is endowed with the same attributes as God himself. He, too, comes to save the sinners and administers his saving grace among the rest. He washes the jivas clean of their sins and gives the gift of Nam, which acts as a sovereign remedy against all ills, physical, accidental, and spiritual. My master takes away all sins, and I depend on him. Forgive all my trespasses, O Master, O Nanak prays for this alone. Great are the blessings of a perfect master. With the worship of Hari comes eternal bliss. The union of the Lord is a gift of a perfect master. Eternally forgiven, I now soar limitless and free. The 17th century poet Dryden, speaking of Christ, tells us, "See God descending in thy human frame, the offended suffering in the offender's name. All thy misdeeds to him imputed see, and all righteousness devolved on thee." The grace of the Master is as limitless as his greatness, so much so that he forgives even those who talk ill of him and accept them as his very own. One who talks ill of the Master may yet turn around to find his saving grace leading him to his fold. countless other persons whose sins are forgiven and are safely ferried across the sea of life. With Shabd, he burns to ashes the karmic impressions of many a soul. Like a captain, he pilots the ship through many a shoal. The Master is truly God. He is a sea of heaving compassion. All kinds of gifts eternally flow from him like perennial springs of cool and refreshing water. Narain, the Creator, in Guru is compassion incarnate and a true friend. In his pleasure is everything, and Nanak is a sacrifice unto him. The greatest gift of God and Guru is just one thing, Nam. They always bestow upon their devotees the blessings of Nam, and thus bring about their salvation. Devotees of God ever revel in Nam. With saving grace they ever march on. The very sight of him is a rare blessing. The truly blessed can have it. With the mercy of the merciful, Satguru confers the gift of Nam. In this world and hereafter, there is no gift greater than that of Nam. The priceless is the treasure of Nam. A true one may grant it at his will. One can secure the gift of Nam and thereby find an approach to God through satsang and Satguru. Whomever the Master may bless, he may have the love of the Lord. The compassion of God comes into commotion when one is truly blessed by Asad or Nanak. The saving grace comes through contact with Nam, and continuous cherishing of his love and saving grace in turn helps the other way. Both grace and Nam work in reciprocity and help in developing each other. O Nanak, Nam comes from grace alone. There is no friend other than Ram Nam. Getting above the pair of opposites, stick to Nam, and he shall bless. The moment I forget truth, that moment is wasted. Remember him with every breath, and his grace shall be with us. His grace descends by acceptance of his bana, or will, and recognition of his hukam, his commandment. He who knows his hukam has no occasion to regret. O Nanak, engrave the gift of Nam on thy soul. The seed of Nam, once sown by a saint, can not but fructify. No power can stop it. And the jiva must sooner or later reach the goal, viz., self-realization and God-realization. Truth one gets through grace alone. None has the power to stop its growth. Nam is warded by death and life, and gurumukhs do it. God grants them this treasure, and none can snatch it. Even Kal, time, and Maya, delusion, can have no effect on the seed of Nam, for it is conceived in a region much higher than their domains. Besides, the sower of the seed, the Satguru, is Satpurush himself, his manifested form. And so Ishwa, Narinjan, lord of the subtle region, and Paramswa, lord of the causal region, cannot interfere in his work. The gift of the Guru is eternal. It has the saving grace for the recipient. The Shabd of the Master reigns supreme, O Nanak. The Master is no one but God. The blessings of the Supreme Lord are limitless, and so do not at any time suffer from the scarcity. But one partakes of them only by extraordinary merit. A particle of grace is enough to save a jiva from the ceaseless cycle of transmigration. Once he showers his blessings there is an end to endless births. As comings and goings cease, one at home finds rest eternal. It is only the Guru Mukhs who get this grace and not the Man Mukhs. O Nanak, he does all by himself and the Guru Mukhs enjoy his favor. The bitter words of the Master taste sweet. His sweet words are a boon, all his own. His words, whatever they are, bear fruit in abundance. But idle words of others go in vain. One works out Nam through his grace alone. Thy grace alone helps in developing the power of Nam. Without any shortcomings, one ever engages in Nam. Man by himself is just as a helpless creature and can do nothing. He must not therefore feel vainglorious for what he seemingly does. God alone is the doer of all acts. He knows the innermost secrets of all hearts. And the panacea for all ills and the only way to win God's grace is perfect surrender in all humility at the feet of the Master Soul. And now we will go on with Master's talk with the book Kirpal Singh, His Grace Lives On. And the disciple asks, Would you talk about when one becomes despondent about their progress? Master, why are they despondent? Look to your diary. Why are you despondent? Your meditations are not fruitful. Your mind is overflowing with foreign thoughts other than God. For a while, close down one picture and open the door to God. Do one thing at a time, wholly and solely. Open one drawer and attend to it fully. That way you will never be despondent. If your body is here while you're rambling outside, then? So, that is why I say, look to your diary. Despondence is due to the angle of your outer attention or not doing your meditation correctly, or your gathering of so many paraphernalia with you when you go to God. He is all alone. You must go all alone. He wants you to come to him all alone. He doesn't want your body to go along with you. He doesn't want your intellect to go along with you. You see? This is why we pray, O God, we are grateful to you, for you have given this secret not to the worldly wise, but to the babes. The worldly wise cannot go on. Understand first and then do it. Your intellect is for understanding. First grasp it, then go on. Further fulfillment starts only when the intellect is docile. When the intellect is standing still, spirituality starts. Disciple, in the book God-Man, you mention a few of the laws, the law of sympathy, the law of supply and demand. However, most of what you talk about seems to be of grace. I wondered if you could comment on how the grace of the Master overrides everything. Master, repeat again, please. Repeat again, not hurriedly, but you'll find in your own question understanding. Master, would you mind commenting about, and Master teasingly says, I'm all mine surely, but all right. Disciple, the meaning of grace. Further, I mean, what do you want further? This could mean so many things. Disciple, how does grace override these other things like the law of supply and demand, the law of sympathy, the law of karma? And Master, when you are a mother, your young child requires help. You help, you see. There's nobody to look after him on cold nights. She does not allow the child to lose any heat. She gives her own blanket to the child. First, he gives you food for eating, drinking. Then many things come and go to help, which are unasked for. With all your efforts, you cannot even rise above. He, the Master, comes to help you. You say, how come? This is from him. No return. Grace comes. He requires no compensation, no return. Just as a mother always has pity, grace for the child, so it is with the Master's love. With his little thought, you weep like anything. Do you follow? His very look is inspiring. When you see somebody very happy, they illuminate through the eyes. The whole atmosphere will be charged, is it not? Grace is a matter of no compensation. The matter of grace, as I told you, is as the child-mother relationship. So naturally, it is that he takes you above the law of as you sow, so shall you reap. For a while, you rise above your body consciousness. He raises you above the level of as you sow, so shall you reap consciousness. So grace, what does grace mean? Now I will tell you of an example which comes from the Quran. One man left his hearth and home and went into the jungle in his childhood. There was no water, no food. God made arrangements to quench his thirst by providing a fresh running stream for water that was always flowing. He used to drink that water and bathe in it and do penances. All his life was spent in that way, you see. So ultimately, he had to come. He was presented to God. This man had veneration for all. He left his hearth and home, all enjoyments, all attachments, etc. And God said, well, look here. We forgive you out of grace. The man replied, I have killed myself. I have left my hearth and home. I remained in the jungle, have undergone all, and with that you forgive me out of grace? I should be compensated. I've done so much. And God said, all right, tell me what you have done. I'll compensate. The man kept quiet. To keep quiet means half consent, does it not? So God said, well, look here. There was no spring of water for miles, and then one spring was raised there for you. There was no tree. There was a tree that gave big, fully ripe pomegranates, free. That was done only for your sake. Take it as compensation for all your... Well, now, let us get the true message. Justice and grace are two different things. Mind that. Justice and grace are two different things. When you were walking, you killed insects. Again, forgiveness, grace. The man said, all right, forgive me for any reason you like. So, have you read the Japji? In the last part, he refers to the pure of heart having the key that unlocks the door to the kingdom of the Lord. The pure among us, it is not by force that you can have that thing. Forget yourself for a while like a babe. A babe has no self. In the inner eye, if the inner eye is open, that is the level we are at. There is no self. That purity of heart comes of itself. He would like everybody to become a king, but cannot. For that, all are crying in agony. You cannot entune yourself to God without grace, not by effort, just grace. Look here, yogis have taken hundreds of years to vacate the body, to leave the lower chakras, hundreds of years. You get it the very first day. Is it not grace? Nobody can do it of himself. Be released from coming and going, because as you think, so you become. If you sow the seeds, you'll render them useless unless his grace descends to you and you forget yourself for a while. Like here, right now. So that is forgiveness, grace, and compensation. It comes of itself. An ordinary lamp lights up the heaven, but there is darkness underneath. Lamps are burning and lighting down. The spreading light ends, and there is darkness above. One law is justice, and the other is grace. Forgiveness and grace, both are laws. It so happened in my life that my wife had to come from an outside station, and I went to receive her She was, in a multitude of people at this point, one cut off the pocketbook from her. The police appointed for that purpose caught the man red-handed. Now, the policeman wanted to report to the station. They called in the complaint, you see. I told them, well, it's only money. It's all right. God forgive him. And they replied, no, no, this should stop. So they called him to go to the police station with my wife. You know, these thieves are not attended to properly. I told them, I have to go to my office. I can't stay here. All right, they said, it'll be 5, 10, 15 minutes. 15 minutes passed, 1/2 hour passed, 1 hour passed. I went to the superintendent in charge. Well, I have to go. It is for their sake I have come. It was recorded. They were just trying to break that boy who was crying. I have not committed by striking him blows. So the case came to the court. I was there and the policeman was there. I had to attend for my wife was away. She never attended. That man who committed that thing was there and the relative was also there. The judge began the case. He asked, between justice and grace, which is the greater? Is justice greater or is grace greater? I told him, grace is. Justice is not done in society. Then the man said, no, no, it's not so. Excuse me, justice is never done. This is the right thing I'm telling you. When grace descends, there is forgiveness. So I told him, a greater man is he who, with right understanding, forgives. Look here, this man, the judge, wants to forgive. He's advocated for this purpose, but they won't let him. So I told the judge, dear friend, if you could leave him off for any excuse, you'd be a great advocate. First, I had to talk with him. I asked, was there any complaint against him in any court before? He said, no. And then he said, all right, let him off in the morning. Now, what happened? Wherever I pass, they all say, here he is. This, you hear? Grace washes away all, everything. There is no compensation for grace. Well, that's a good question. I was once called as a juror in a big court. It was a very easy case never seen before. And Master leaned forward. He looked very serious as he seemed to relieve that moment in the courtroom. He paused before continuing. It struck me. Judge not others so that you may not be judged. I requested from that judge, would you kindly let me go? I am not to judge. So he was also a Sawan initiate. Between grace and justice, he who judges another man is never satisfied. He will go on. There are small courts, high courts, privy courts. It could go on for 4 or 5 years. And when wrangling goes on between two preachers, each man says, I have the right to sow the seeds of righteousness, you see. Now do you understand what grace is? Out of grace, you are all forgiven. With avatars, there's no grace, Heifetz says. Ultimately, at the end, Heifetz came to know that the kingdom of the saints is forgiveness. With what I tell you to do, you can leave the body in minutes and in no time. Hundreds of people rise above body consciousness. From the start, those whose eyes are open see the light of God. Is this not grace? Look to your injustice of our master. It is very good of him. I'm going to stop here because we have just a little bit left. But anyway, I'm going to stop here and I won't continue with this reading. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Rudy, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today we had 68 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for the wonderful satsang. Now please hang up your phone.